I stand as tall as the willow tree, slendered, arched, and overbearing, exploring everyday people do an amazing thing that makes them stand. I stand with your host, Michael B. Judkins. Hello to one and all, and welcome to the I Stand podcast. I'm your host, Michael B. Judkins. I have a special guest today, Linda Brinson, joining us to talk about autism and mothering and parenting. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, everybody. I'm fine, and you?
You know what? I'm not bad. I'm just getting over some allergies. You know, all week has been a difficult week out here in the Lehigh Valley with this elevation, but, you know, still managing. Thank you for participating with this I Stand series. I really, really appreciate it. We got a great conversation coming up as far as talking about something that we both have in common and, you know, especially talking about autism and then, just talk about friendship. You know, believe it or not, you're like one of my oldest and dearest. I wouldn't even say oldest and dearest. You're family, you know.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't even say oldest and dearest.
Over 20 years. Family.
20 years. You know, yes. 20 years. Well, now making me sound old. I was wondering where this gray hair was coming from. So, you know, but yeah, 20 years, you know, so, you know, it's very humbling, you know, to when you have good people still in your life and you keep those good people in your life. So I just want to say thank you for being a good person in my life.
Oh, thank you.
You know, every time. So let's get right into it. And, you know, I know this topic is it's educational and informative, but it's also very heartfelt and it's very close to home. And I just wanted, you know, start off, you know, very slowly and kind of divulging into some stuff. So first of all, let's talk about your experiences with the autism spectrum disorders and talk about that a little bit.
Autism is a developmental disorder. I have two kids on the spectrum, but I struggle with one of them mostly because he's severely autistic. And some days it's really hard. And the best advocate for your child.
Right.
As the parent, Jaden is nonverbal. He's 11. He's doing really good in school. He goes to an ABA school in Westchester County. He's doing much better. But it's a struggle every day to deal with autism. It is not easy.
And when you know, I can hear the change in your tone, and I'll let you finish up, but I can hear the change in your tone when you started to talk about it. So I know it's, like I said, this is going to be a very moving segment, but, you know, I could definitely hear the change in your voice when you talk about it. So I can see the passion and the hurt at the same time.
Yeah, it do hurt. It does. But I know one day he'll be okay. Maybe he'll be able to function more, do more things for himself, but he's always really going to need help. That's hard.
Now, when you think about that,
hurtful thing.
Right. When you think about that, a sense of, explain that a little bit in your mind as a parent, when you say the term as far as thinking about that, he's always going to need help.
It's heartbreaking. It hurts me really bad. I never think of him as a burden. but he's like a big baby.
Take your time. That's okay.
I worry about Jaden. if something happens to me. I worry about that daily. I think a lot of parents think about that. Like, if I die, what's going to happen?
Right.
When I get old, what's going to happen to Jaden and Jordan? But Jaden's more severe. Jordan's more functional.
Right.
He has mild autism. Jaden is severe. So that's who I worry about more. And as a parent, that it hurts.
I can imagine what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I can imagine, and I know. Coming off working, coming on the other end of it all, working with children and adolescents, or even adults with that's on the autism spectrum disorder, and working with families and working with individuals and seeing, you know, the daily struggle. I wouldn't even call it the daily struggle, just the daily life and all that that comes with dealing with the emotions and the rides and the, you know, every day is really and really a different day. You know, every day is a different day.
It is. And sometimes kids on the spectrum, you know, everybody's different with autism. But I'll tell you a little story. One time, Jaden threw himself on the floor and people just stared. They walked by and they stared. I had to grow tough skin to not let that bother me, because people stare, because a lot of people don't understand about autism. They just see this kid on the floor and they're like, oh, look at this kid on the floor having a tantrum while the mother is not doing anything. When they don't realize, like, this kid has autism. That's a struggle too. People judge you. People, sometimes when you don't know about something, you're afraid of it. Like, some people are afraid of him. And he's not, he's actually a sweet, loving kid.
Right.
But I think more people should be aware of autism. You know, just so they know how to approach it.
I agree with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I try to, like, you know, keep up with autism. Like, I try to join a lot of Facebook groups about autism, since sometimes I can't physically go to a support group. So that's good, too. It's good to have, like, a lot of support dealing with a child on the spectrum.
Right.
We need a lot of support.
Now, let's divulge a little bit into, you know, what does that mean? And I know people that, you know, experiencing it, you know, daily or have some knowledge of, you know, the spectrum or any kind of information they found out with. But let's talk a little bit about what that means as far as being severely autistic. From your point of view as a parent and as an advocate of children with autism, what does that mean, severely autistic? And I'm not looking for a textbook definition, Linda, so you don't have to worry about that. I mean, as a parent point of view, you know, what does that look like for you when you hear the term severely autistic and then you're dealing with a child that's diagnosed, so to say, being severely autistic?
Totally nonverbal. He's like a baby. He needs help with everything.
Right.
Some kids on the spectrum, they're more milder and they can do more things for themselves. Everybody with autism is different, but with severe autism, most of them are nonverbal. They could be aggressive. As aggressive towards others and themselves.
Right.
Like banging their head, slapping their head with their hands, biting themselves, spitting. Things like that.
You know, it's funny when you say as far as the baby-like behavior, and with being a clinician on the other side of it, when you're working with somebody that's severely autistic, or you have a case that they diagnosed with being severely autistic, the baby-like behavior, it's not something to where they're not even knowledgeable themselves of acting that way. You know, it's the yes. development, right? It's the developmental phases that they're not really, they may be 13 hypothetically in age, but chronologically they can be, or cognitively, they can be 3 years old. And
yes, correct.
Yeah. And a lot of people think like, oh, well, this person's 13, but you know, yes, but they're diagnosed with being severely autistic. And there might not be as we're a 13-year-old as we would think a 13-year-old would be at. So when you're working mm-hmm. with them, you have to be a little bit more patient and understand and meet the client where they're at. And do you find that hard as far as working with providers where you're at, understanding the distinction, or what kind of experiences have you had with service providers and dealing with Jaden?
For the most part, everybody that I've ever met that worked with Jaden or was a therapist, they were pretty good for the most part. Maybe two of them, I've seen like they didn't have a lot of patience. You have to have a lot of patience. You have to. You could take a kid with autism outside and go left every single day. And you take that kid with autism outside that one day and you go to the right, you could throw the child off. You could have a tantrum, anything. They don't like their routine messed with. But for the most part, as far as people dealing with Jaden, I've had a very good team, early intervention, CPSC, and school age. And he's been getting services since he was 14 months old. He's going to be 12 years old in June.
That's good. So it's very important. And you made a good point right now when you said you had him already engaged. You know, how important it is for parents to understand the importance, or just looking at the signs, you know, when they're at a younger stage in their life, a baby stage, and starting to see something to where, you know, early intervention can actually, you know, I believe in early intervention. I think that's the great, you know, process, a great thing for kids. But when do you recommend for parents to be knowledgeable, or at least be attentive of their child? You know, to kind of start noticing yes. different signs.
Yes. If you notice, and it's so different with, you know, with children. But if the child is almost two and the child is not responding to their name, the child likes to play by themselves. They don't interact with no other children. They interact more with adults. I would try to get the child evaluated and see if they qualify for early intervention. Early intervention is very good, very good.
I have to agree with you. That social aspect, I think a lot of times, and not just parents, sometimes even educators, you know, in school misses it. You know, sometimes, you know, that engagement, you know, when if you yeah. absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, some people may think, oh, the child is shy.
Right.
You know, because it could be a child that's verbal, and they just think, oh, he's just a little shy. But he could actually have autism.
Right. Right. You know, and
I think it's just...
Go ahead.
I think it's just good to, like, watch out for, like, early signs. No eye contact. No words by 15 months. Like, mama, dada. No pointing. No, not engaging with siblings or other children of that age. Rocking back and forth. There's so many, it's so many different things, but those are like the main ones to like look out for. And some parents are embarrassed. Some parents are ashamed. You mm-hmm. shouldn't feel that way. Because getting help the earliest age is going to be so much better for the child in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's the way I look at it, and I like having this discussion because it's always, I love hearing, you know, parents talk about it because as a clinician working on the side with it, I see the working with children and adolescents or adults with that's on the spectrum and working with them one-on-one or working on projects with them, but then also counseling the parents on just dealing with it. You know, and a lot of the times when I'm with certain cases, especially when I'm doing certain work on the autism level, it's actually really a lot of counseling with the parents, you know, and being a support system for them, you know, and because there's a lot of, like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of guilt and there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of, you know, trying to overcome those negative feelings, but also, you know, dealing with the child and what the child needs and it's, how do you find that balance? How would you say right now in your life, how do you find that balance to kind of deal with the needs of Jaden and Jordan, but also dealing with the needs as yourself as an individual?
Oh, it's hard. I guess I got used to it.
Right.
I just go by their routine. It's like now I don't like change. It's like now, you know, I'm autistic a little bit.
Right, right.
Most days are good. And, you know, some days are bad. But he's just a happy kid. And I'm just happy that, you know, he could see, hear, laugh, play, run. Smile. He's just a little different from others. I never was ashamed or embarrassed of him, but it is normal to, I think it's normal to feel like that if someone's feeling like that, but I never felt like that. Mm-hmm. I embraced autism head on, and I got him help immediately. And I started educating myself about autism, and I would go to support groups. And I told all my friends, I told all my family.
Right. And I think that's the main thing. And like I said, like, you know, as a clinician working with children or individuals with autism, I always support and always advocate for, you know, people to kind of seek that own individual supports and don't be, you know, talk to family, talk to friends, you know, because your voice can help somebody else that may be dealing with it in silence, you know, and sometimes it's good to be paired or to share the story than to, because somebody may not know how to navigate the services of it all. And sometimes, you know, coming on the other end of it, on the profession side of it, sometimes it's a huge stress just to navigate the services of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and how would you say what helped you with understanding, and I hate to use it in this term, but the business of autism?
I had a real good communication with all the therapists. The teachers, I always ask questions.
Right.
I've read a lot of books. I involved myself. I went to the autism walk. I talked to other parents. You have to involve yourself. You're the best advocate, not a teacher, not a therapist, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa.
Absolutely.
Autism is will always be a part of my life for the rest of my life. And I know I'm going to have, you know, many days where, like, being stressed, maybe I feel like giving up, but you just got to keep pushing. These kids grow up, a lot of them, and they get jobs.
Right, right.
A lot of people think people with autism in general are dumb. They don't know anything, and that's not true. They just need a lot of help.
Right.
A lot of help, and it starts with EI. It starts with early intervention. And get good therapists in your corner. And if you don't like the therapist, you don't have to keep the therapist. You can change the therapist. And the therapist is supposed to show you ways of dealing with the child doing things. Maybe the child has sensory issues. And they like baths or lotion to be rubbed on them. The early intervention therapist will teach mom and dad how to do these things.
Now, when you made a good point when you say sensory issues, and you know, this is something to where a lot of people get confused. And I know that in my walk in the professional realm to where, you know, the people think sensory issues and they thinking it's just more like, you know, bright light, which can be, you know, and people think it's, oh, well, you know, well, just dim the light, you know, or I just don't take them somewhere, you know, at a bright store. And it's, I think it's more than that, than just to avoid places. You have to find those interventions to kind of help you see if there is sensory issues. You know, I know, I had clients in the past that would put headphones on, you know, whether if it's something that blocks the ears. I had a client in the past that, you know, will always wear a hat, you know, like kind of like the baseball hat, so where they can pull down and they can block, you know, the sunlight hitting on their eyes if they have any type of sensory issues in that sense, or if their sensory issues more related to like light on than versus sound. What are some of the interventions you think you learned that was helpful for you, especially dealing with the sensory part of it all?
The sensory part is just so complicated.
Yeah.
But a kid on a spectrum.
Yeah.
Jaden doesn't like to be around crowds. Everywhere I go with him, I have to be in a car. We can't go on a train. We can't go on a bus. He gets overly stimulated. Some kids with autism, they don't like loud noise. They don't like crowds. Certain colors, they don't like certain colors. It could be a smell. A lot of them don't like to be touched. That could set them off. With you just touching them lightly, you could just set someone with autism off just by touching them because of the sensory, you know. What the doctor explained to me was, like, people with autism are very highly sensitive.
Yes.
Like how we could block out noise, like a train going by, a car, a bus, how we but block that out, people with autism can't. They hear it like 10 times louder. They're very hypersensitive.
Yes, that's a good point, yes.
Some people with autism, they don't like water. But then you have people with autism who love water, who loves to be touched, who loves to be rubbed down with lotion, or playing even in a little bowl of water. It soothes them. Some. Everybody's different. Some kids like headphones. Some kids don't like nothing on their head. Jaden won't wear a hat at all in the wintertime. Will not wear a hat. And he will tolerate clothes, going to school and, you know, other places, regularly, daily life stuff, but he does not like clothes. Like, it bothers him. The little tag on the shirt may bother him, so I try to cut all the tags out or buy clothes with note that's tagless. The sensory part is, it could be tough.
Yeah.
Especially when they're small and they're crying and you don't know why they're crying. It could just be the socks that you just put on them. But they can't tell you because they're nonverbal.
Absolutely. Have you, with all the new advances in the autism spectrum world and all the new interventions, have you been introduced to any kind of like toys or any type of play methods that help Jaden in his path on the autism spectrum disorder?
When Jaden was much younger, and early intervention, there's a lot of things he wouldn't touch, like clay, like soft things, soft, mm-hmm. squishy things. Didn't like that. We had to teach him to tolerate it. That's what early intervention does. They try to bring that kid out of that world, like, try to make the kid open up and learn how to tolerate a lot of things, because some of them don't like certain textures, smells. But he came a long way, and he's doing a lot better. He tolerates everything now, pretty much. And he loves baths. He actually knows how to swim now, which is a good thing. But cause and effect toys, like you press the button, something, you know, the toy sings, it lights up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids with autism, they love those type of toys. And Legos are good. To help them stack, you know, eye-hand coordination.
Right.
String and beads. When you have a kid with autism, you have to teach them so much.
Absolutely. It's always, I always tell people, like, it's, every day, every moment, every minute is a teachable moment. So when you're working with or you have children with autism, because everything is learned in such a new way for them, to where, you know, something simple as picking up a piece of paper that's on the living room floor to us, or to quote unquote a normal person, may seem like, oh, that's nothing. But that can be a huge job to somebody with autism, especially on the higher end or severe end, to where that can actually mm-hmm. make their day. You know, that can make them feel happy just to do that. You know, and it feels a sense of accomplishment. You know, that, you know, and you give a lot of praise and you give a lot of positive, you know, affirmations, you know, the good job, that was great, you know, the repetition of it all. And a lot of people feel like, you know, I come across a lot of, you know, parents that struggle with just the repetition of it all, you know, the constant, you know, good job, you know, I'm here for you, that, you know, those, all those great things that actually can make the day easier for them.
Yes.
And that's one of the things to where I know as a clinician dealing with working with parents and working with individuals on the spectrum is that those are the moments to where you see that you are making progress, or you, the family's making progress with understanding, you know, what autism is and understanding that, you know, they don't have to limit or put limits on their children just because of the diagnosis, but they can give them small, simple tasks and reward them the best way that they know how, if they use the reward system, whatever reward system that means for them. But just have that acknowledgement right. of just saying, you know, good job, you know, can change a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
You know, definitely what it is. And, you know, and anything you want to share right now with any, whether it's a young parent, older parents, couples, singles, just people in general right now of your experience and your story as a mother too with autism, with kids with autism on the spectrum, that would be helpful for them.
Just have a lot of patience and just fight for services. If you get denied, fight for services. Children with autism, they can get a lot of stuff. You could get diapers, Pediasure, because a lot of children with autism, they're very picky with food because of the sensory issue.
Right.
And they have, like, a lot of stomach problems, some of these kids. Like, a lot of them are, like, they suffer from constipation. Talk to your pediatrician. Try to find a developmental pediatrician, someone who specializes in the autism spectrum. That helps a lot. And just be really involved in everything. I'm involved in everything as far as school. I talk to teachers and therapists on a daily basis. I even call just to see how their day is going. Things like that. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask for help. 'Cause autism can be overwhelming.
Yes, yes. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
You can even get respite services. You could have someone come and take them out, and you could get a little break. A child with autism, they can get so much things. After school, just fight. You're the best advocate for your child.
Absolutely. And you know, as we wrap up, I like that how you ended. You are the best advocate for your child. And that's how that holds a lot of strength in itself, you know, that having people just hear that, like, you are the best advocate for your child. You know,
yes.
Regardless if you have a village around you, it's every provider in the world, but you are the best advocate for your child. And Linda, you know, I just want to thank you for taking the time and educating us on the reasons why you stand, and sometimes being a light to someone makes you stand as tall as the willow tree. So I'm your host, Michael B. Judkins. Until next time.
Hosted by Podomatic, I Stand is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and YouTube. Like us, review us, rate us, and share us. Show your support by pledging on Patreon at patreon.com/AOS21 or buy an ad through advertisecast.com, a production of AOS21 Podcast Network and Act 14 Publishing.
Copyright 2017, AS21 Publishing, LLC.
All rights reserved.
AS21 Publishing. What do you want your book to be?